HJR 4A. Mr. Hellman, please, would you come forward? The only one signed up on that, please. Hello?
Name the chair.
Oh, you are here. We thought you, I was just doing the public hearing on that one. We were just doing the public hearing. But it didn't do any good. I called a witness who signed up and down here. So you can shut that, I don't know.
Okay.
Dabble it down.
Oh, here he comes.
Dabble it down.
Oh, he's.
Okay, going once, going twice.
Somebody want to eat dog?
Get it. Oh, my.
Oh, dabble it down before we get that stuff.
That does not look.
That does not look good.
Oh, no.
Not that bad.
Makes you up for all the way to the bottom.
Have we got something for Honeywell? Have we got something for Honeywell?
Is there something here? Yeah. Go.
Why wouldn't we want to do it?
He's in speed.
Morning. My name is Mark Hellman. I'm an administrator at the Public Utility Commission, and with me is Paul Graham, a Attorney General's Office. I'll try and be brief in testimony. The Public Utility Commission will cooperate with whatever the Joint Interim Committee decides is the scope and review of the statutes relating to the PUC. We would like to note that in the upcoming biennium that much of the commission resources currently is targeted at successfully implementing Senate Bill 1149 and responding to stresses placed on the electric industry due to high volatility in the wholesale power supply markets. It may be more efficient and productive if perhaps House Joint Resolution 4 focuses on a key subset of issues. For example, such issues could be water company regulation and consumer advocacy. For example, I know that in the House there has been a significant interest in the level of fees paid by water companies as compared to the cost that the Commission incurs to carry out its statutory obligations with respect to investor-owned water utilities. There are also some other issues just with regards to the wording of the joint resolution. For example, on page 2, line 23 of the House joint resolution, it talks about the word resources. That may present constitutional problems. The same issue was dealt and House Bill 2988 was amended. We're also not clear what is meant by Oregon's energy policy on page 2, line 4. Clarification of what is meant would help in having the commission carry out what are the intentions that the legislature would like us to do. Finally, we'd like to point out that whether a complete review of all the PUC statutes is really intended in Section 2B, that would be a very significant task, and I've handed out a copy of the statutes relating to the commission. We have, over the years, had many, many statutes revised. Our statutes have not been stale and in place since the early 1990s. And, for example, in this session alone, we've made, or the legislature has considered and implemented some major changes in PUC statutes. One's on hearing procedures, House Bill 2988. Another is affording the use of arbitration for valuing generating resources, and that's in Senate Bill 843 that was signed by the governor. Another is entering into contracts between the commission and electric companies for rate-making treatment of new generating resources and long-term power purchase and sales agreements. And that's in House Bill 3696, which is before the Senate to be considered. And finally, House Bill 3633, dealing with electric restructuring. And last session, Senate Bill 622 made major changes with respect to telecommunications regulations. The PUC statutes are some of the most dynamic in state government, and because there have been many changes, it's our recommendation that the legislature focus on some key issues that they definitely would like to have reviewed, and that be the focus of House Joint Resolution 4. We're here to answer any questions or that you all may have.
Okay, Mark, and you're here to tell us we can't compel them to use resources.
It depends how you define resources. This is Paul Graham, Assistant Attorney General. Resources simply means assistance. That's one thing. If it means funds, that's another thing.
Yeah, that was we got
assistance. Yes, funds no.
Yeah, that was a question we had. Comments? Okay. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay. I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to recess this public hearing and close it for a minute and pick it back up again at the end. We have a couple of bills we need to get through. Senator Courtney and Beyer have a caucus that they're going into, so we'll open up a work session on House Bill 3433. Senator Menis, you have some amendments?
Yes, sir, I do. We should all have copies of them with the dash B9.
You want to give us a quick and dirty on what these things do?
The essence of what these do is it would increase the temporary cigarette tax by an additional 10%. It would sunset at the same time the existing 10 cents set to sunset predicated upon advancement sunset, so basically at the same time. But it would, these funds would be dedicated and continuously appropriated for the purpose of creating a senior prescription drug assistance program for assistance to low-income seniors 65 years of age or older, assisting them in obtaining prescription medications. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the adoption of the B9 amendments at your convenience.
Okay, Senator Menis moves the B9s to 3433. I object. Further objections? Okay. Any other objections? Okay. Well, we need to go down the Ways and Means then with it. Okay. Motion passes. And we'll have a 3433, we need to send it out with a
Ways and Means.
3433 to the Ways and Means Committee to pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Menis moves 3433 as amended to the due pass recommendation to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Speak to my motion quickly.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that I reviewed some of the, I guess, the results of a survey done of senior citizens in the state of Oregon. It's clear to me that there are approximately 245,000 seniors in Oregon right now, many of which are low income, who have no prescription medication reimbursement coverage at all. It's clear from the surveys done that approximately 50% of them stretch their medications by taking partial doses, 83% of them skip filling medications at all, and 71% of those individuals spend less on essentials like food, rent, and clothing. And it was one of the recommendations of the Governor's Commission that we address the issue of low-income senior prescription medication program, and I think that's a good thing to do.
All right, Senator Byrne.
Just to comment on it, too, also, this is something we hadn't been planning on doing, but when Senator Menis came up with the idea, it was prescription drug problem came in as one of my top priorities, and I've been trying to work with the various lobbying groups all session to come up with a way to make it happen, and a lot of opposition and reasons why we can't do it, and not very many why we could. Since Senator Menis had this drafted, we did have a suggestion from the folks that represent the tobacco industry that they found another $60 million in tobacco recovery money that might be available to this. And there's another bill down in Ways and Means that the good chair down there might be able to work with and find a way to fund this, and maybe we wouldn't have to have another tax.
Well, that's, you know, I think that suggestion of recovery is a great idea.
Okay, no objections. Motion passes. Closed work session, open work session 3007.
Yeah.
Let's see, Matt, we got OEC here. Which amendments were the finals on these?
14, isn't it?
14 to 13 are from the...
This is Murphy, right?
This is Murphy.
All right.
There's an addition.
So we need to do them both. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move the A... What's the A?
A 14s too?
13s and 14s.
Right.
You mean both?
Yeah.
The A-13 amendments to House Bill 3007.
And the A-13s are...
Back here. They're the...
No, they're right up here in front of us.
The fix to Senate Bill 320 and House Bill 2194. There was an inadvertent error in those bills. They have been signed by the governor, and this fixes the problem. The gentleman back here can provide more detail if...
And you're sure?
Yep.
And you won't come back to me tomorrow because I tear them up in public. I mean, you guys understand that. Okay. All right. I got a motion on the A-13s. Further discussion, objection?
Mr. Chair, I move the A-14 amendment to House Bill 3007.
And the 14s, Matt, do what?
The 14s address a number of the concerns that were raised in the hearing a couple days ago. Specifically, they clarify... The way in which both DCBS and CCB will work to ensure and notify installers, HVAC installers, about the prohibition of installing mercury-containing thermostats, clarified and made sure that everybody was clear on how the process is going to work and working with licensing, how we would set up the forms, and leave enough leeway so that we can have as little paperwork as possible, ideally just adding one new line to the current forms that all the contractors are using in this. It also clarifies that any requirement by federal law for specific uses of mercury thermostats or thermometers is exempted from this bill per request. Also clarifies that that mercury thermostats that are used in industrial equipment for safety controls is also exempted, getting at some of their concerns about industrial uses there. And then it also clarifies that labeling for thermostats it should be consistent with other states where possible.
And did you mention the...
And then the overall pushes out the ban of the thermostat enactment to 2006.
No, in states a ban in 2006.
Right.
It's consistent with the other dates.
Right.
And you guys are okay with that?
Yep. Yeah. We're consistent, yeah. Supportive.
And honey, well, we'll live with it. Yeah. Joe, you had...
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Joe Brewer. I'm the administrator at the Building Codes Division. The department is in support of the -14 amendments, A-14 amendments. Mm-hmm. Would simply like to point out that the division will be working with local government and the jurisdictions that enforce the code to put together a uniform process for notification of contractors in dealing with these issues, and we'll be working with industry to utilize their processes for the disposal and elimination of these devices.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Courtney.
Just for what it's worth, I went over to the House and checked with Representative Canope, Representative Carlson, mm-hmm. Representative Witt, and they're fine with these. And they were very happy to see me because they haven't seen it yet.
They just seen a Democrat in a week, yeah. Did they cut you?
Oh, they were hugging. They were talking.
Look, here's one.
I wouldn't let them kiss me, but they were a lot of hugging. At least I wouldn't let Whit and Tim that I was. No, I wouldn't let anyone.
No, you just be quiet.
Yeah,
you're cut off. You're not Senator Byer. Senator Byer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Joe, just to be clear and get it on the record, there was some concern about whether the structure would allow you to develop uniform forms and reporting. That's all taken care of?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Byer. Discussions around the uniform forms where that there may be a cost to local government to moving immediately to a uniform form statewide. We've spoken with local government. My understanding is they're willing to work with us in that process, and that's certainly the direction we're going to pursue, trying to get to a place where there is one uniform form statewide to deal with these issues.
This gentleman had raised a concern, Mr. Chair, to make sure he got it clear.
Chair Harper, members of the committee, Joe Landry representing the Plumbing Mechanical Contractors Association and the United Association of Plumbers and Steam Fitters, Local 290. What we worked out in the group with all the different interested parties is that we were going to add a uniform language to the permit that the contractor is going to take out. They're in support of the notification, but they want it to look the same on within each jurisdiction each time they go. So we won't move to an entirely uniform permit under the language of this bill, although we're interested in working towards that. What this bill will, the intention of this is to have the part of the permit that requires notification for proper disposal of this mercury to be integrated uniformly on the permit.
So to be clear, Joe, you're in support.
Yes, and with me. We support the dash, 814.
All right. You know the saddest part about this bill, Peter?
What's that?
My kids can never make those shiny nickels anymore.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Aren't your kids beyond that age?
All right, dash 14s, if you wouldn't mind. Going to move them. Any more discussion in section to the 14s?
House Bill 3007 is amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cordy moves 3007 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion, objection. So ordered. Who needs a green bill? Somebody need a green bill? All right.
Who's going to carry it?
Cordy.
Hey, sir, you going to carry it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got... Okay, have at it.
All right.
I'll take care of your cows.
Okay. Well, you?
No, I don't.
Do you need this, John? Because you've been moving in that direction a lot this session.
This is fire. But they don't have any counters.
Well, I mean, this is a counter here.
Yeah, this is a counter. Yeah, I may have to. I'll check with you, John, by the time it gets to the floor. If it's a counter, I'll let you have it, buddy. Yeah, I was going to say, if you need it, yeah.
Closed work session. Reopen the public hearing on 4. Did you, everybody understand we're not doing 2004 today? If there's any strap hangers for that one. So back to breakfast. Okay.
With the strap hanger.
Public hearing 2004. Jenny Lang, Cindy, Brent Wolf, Gary Bauer. I guess three can come up at once.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jenny Lang. I represent Quest, and I'm here in support of House Joint Resolution 4. I want to focus just on two things. One, the fact that there have been considerable changes in Chapter 759, which is the chapter that directly affects regulatory practices for telecommunications industry. But all the while, there have been many changes. There have also been a lot of dramatic changes both in the industry and in the laws affecting it, primarily the Telecommunications Act of 1996 passed by the Congress. And it would be very helpful, we believe, to have some kind of a structured process whereby we could take a look at not only Chapter 759, but a number of other statutes that cover everything from taxes and regulatory practices to things like how and where we may apply insecticides. So as the terms of the telecommunications industry have changed and either cover many more or many fewer companies under statutory terms like telecommunications utilities, telecommunications carriers, providers, co-ops, and others, it would be useful to have a forum where we could look at these statutes in a structured format. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Jenny, these guys weren't listening. They were wondering why you weren't talking about schools.
I could do that.
Let me, just the wrong bill. Okay, reinforce exactly what you think the problem is.
We think that it would be very useful to have some kind of a structured process whereby we could look at the statutes affecting the telecommunications industry and review what needs to be essentially cleaned up and cleaned out of the statutes as it relates to things like the passage of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. What we've done over time since Chapter 759, which affects telecommunications, was created in 1987, is just layer on new things. We have failed to go in and sort of clear out the underbrush as dramatic changes like the 96 Act passed by Congress has been put into place.
And this is a legislative panel?
Yes.
And you expect PUC to help, obviously, whatever help they can give.
It would be essential that they would certainly be part of it as well.
If you guys want to look at some laws, you can borrow my book.
You have one. And that's just the beginning.
In fact, we'd probably give you 5 copies if you guys are really. Okay. Okay. Gary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Gary Bauer with Northwest Natural, and I'll be brief. The resolution has a number of suggestions in it. One is on the area of energy policy. You passed some bills earlier this session changing the siting process in Oregon. I think it would be advantageous to have a body that continues to monitor that process, in part because I understand that there are other state agencies who are still somewhat of a roadblock to facilitating the development of energy resources, and I think you've had a lot of discussion this session that we do need to move forward in getting some resources in place, and this would be one opportunity for the legislature to stay on top of that issue. Another one Senator Beyer has raised with me a number of times during the session, the issue of the role of natural gas, how we work directly with customers versus using natural gas for fueling electric generating resources. Again, something that this body could take a look at in terms of the role of energy resources as we go forward. In terms of reviewing statutes, one of the things we found this session is every time we wanted to talk about a change in the PUC statutes affecting natural gas, because it's part of the overall energy statutes, it tended to draw a number of some opposition because the electric utilities are also subject to those same regulations. So we found ourselves frequently in work groups not talking about natural gas, but talking about electric issues. One of the things that we are thinking about is talking with the Public Utility Commission and over the interim about ways of maybe separating some of those in the future. And if that happens, we think a legislative panel participating in that process would be advantageous to everybody as you move forward into the next session. One other quick comment I'll make is that the Public Utility Commission had some difficulty with its budget and the Ways and Means process. I think some of that's due to maybe some members not understanding the agency and its role. And again, maybe this is an opportunity to do some education and to build some understanding among those members. Also, again, the task force that was created last legislative session made a number of recommendations, and part of the recommendation was that the legislature continue to receive reports on the implementation of the recommendations they made to the PUC. So I think there are a number of opportunities for the legislature to stay involved in the energy arena, and would just encourage you to consider this. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Cindy?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
The obstructionists we just heard about?
No, actually, we support everything that was already said. We think that there, for the record, my name is Cindy Finlayson with Portland General Electric. We believe that a holistic oversight of the utility statutes and review and cleanup is necessary right now because there have been a lot of changes, but certainly they've been targeted changes, and an overview and seeing what is appropriate to be a Velcro buddy with. And what isn't, we think is an appropriate, it's an appropriate time to look forward to those things. Also, last session, a bill passed, House Bill 3615, that set up a task force that made some recommendations on PUC oversight and how customers and utilities are interact with the PUC. And we think that that task force has completed. They had some good recommendations, and we'd like to see some follow-up to those recommendations as well.
So that's one of the questions. We did this once, but you're kind of looking for follow-up.
Follow-up to make sure that the recommendations are implemented and see if there's anything else that needs to continue on, if there needs to be any continuing oversight.
Okay. This is a legislative panel. Why don't you guys help staff it and support instead of PUC?
We actually would intend to do that. We would certainly be a participant, and we certainly would be interested in doing just that. And working with the PUC and the legislative committee to do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. Brant?
Good morning, Chairman Harper, members of the committee. My name is Brant Wolf, representing the Oregon Telecommunications Association. Our association consists of telecommunications service providers throughout the state of Oregon. I just wanted to echo our support of this resolution for reasons previously stated by my colleagues here today.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Anybody else on this? Close the hearing, and we will adjourn. We will not meet Monday. We'll see what we get out of the house Saturday, Sunday, and then finish up Tuesday.
Okay. Thanks.